Forensic analysis is expected to begin soon on the remains of the Somerton man. His body was exhumed overnight from Adelaide's West Terrace Cemetery. It's been more than 70 years since his body was discovered, propped up against the seawall of Somerton Beach in Adelaide, in my hometown in South Australia. And despite an extensive police investigation, the case has remained one of Australia's most baffling unsolved mysteries. I'm joined now by Jerry Feltus, the former police officer who was in charge of the Somerton man cold case for some years. Jerry, hello there.
Hello there, Fran.
And Fiona Ellis-Jones, who's the host of the Somerton Man Mystery podcast, which was many of you will have heard, perhaps here on RN. You can still hear if you're interested. Fiona, hello there.
Morning, Fran.
What's the latest on the exhumation? Can you tell us that?
Yes, well, it finished quite late last night at West Terrace Cemetery in Adelaide, Fran. Police say they're very optimistic about the prospects of recovering DNA. They said they managed to find a near-complete set of remains for the unknown man. It took a long time. They came in under the shadow of darkness yesterday morning, and they literally got down to his coffin, and they were using plastic spatulas and brushes to dig through the remains. They're very confident that they have got the correct remains because they found a little ID tag that was buried with the man. So quietly.
And the issue there
confident.
Is it was not the only body in that gravesite, is that right?
That's correct. He was buried about 6 months after his body was found. He was obviously buried as an unknown, not quite as a pauper, certainly at the time he was buried in the soft soil just in case an exhumation had to be carried out down the track. So he's been put in a new coffin, Fran, and taken to Forensic Sciences in Adelaide.
Jerry, why has it taken so long for this step to be taken? You were working on this cold case for some time. Did you try to get the body exhumed previously, and why now? What's this moment in time about?
I did. I've had it for years and years. And I approached the police pathologist with all the evidence and gave it to them with the possibility of supporting a application for a exhumation to merely ascertain if we could obtain any poisons or anything like that, and also what the likelihood of obtaining an exhumation would be.
Uh-huh.
Now, the general consensus with all those people was that it wouldn't be possible because the formaldehyde had been pumped into the body, and they said that would impact on the DNA, and also that back in those days, The chemists were very, very good, and they would have found any sign of any poison that had not dissipated through the body.
Okay. So those were the reasons back then. Technology's moved a long way, Fiona. What do they hope they might be able to do now? Is this somehow linked to all the DNA databases that are around, people signing up to ancestry sites, things like that?
It is exactly linked to that, Fran. So obviously DNA technology has come a long way since the late 1940s, but in the last 5 years specifically, many cold cases are now literally hot again, and that is due to the use of forensic genealogy. And that's exactly what you said, people uploading their DNA to sites like ancestry.com. And indeed, a number of cold cases have been solved in the last couple of years due to the use of forensic genealogy. You might remember the very famous case, the first one to have been solved during this due to this technology, which was the Golden State Killer in 3 years ago in California. So basically, they managed to track down the identity of a notorious serial killer, and that was because they finally were able to upload his DNA profile to ancestry.com, and they managed to track down a second or third cousin. So in theory, if we could do that, if we could get viable DNA from either the bones or the teeth of the Somerton man's remains, upload that to an open source genealogy database and try and find his relatives. If we can't do that, we can do lots of other DNA and isotope modelling to find where he's from in the world.
Okay, but why do we want to do it? This is a lot of trouble to go to for a 70-year-old cold case,
yep.
A mystery. Why do we want to do this? What is it, Fiona? You've done the podcast. I'm sure you're across every element of this story. What is it about this story, this man, that remains so mysterious and provokes so much interest back in the time in South Australia and beyond,
yeah.
and globally, in fact, and since?
I guess there are a couple of things. So, yes, it's one of our most perplexing cold cases, one of the most famous cold cases in the world. Seven decades of conspiracies, like you said, three main theories, the love child theory, the fact that he could have been a black market racketeer or perhaps a Russian spy.
Returned soldier, displaced person, jilted lover, spy.
Anything you could come up with. But I guess the thing is, Fran, and what complicates this mystery even further is that there's a very personal element. And if you look at the most probable theory, that is the love child theory, and this is the theory professed by Professor Derek Abbott of the University of Adelaide, that basically the Somerton man was a scorned lover. He had gone to the beach to say farewell to a former World War II dalliance who had potentially, he had fathered a child with. So this woman by the name of Jo Thompson, who was linked to the Somerton man by that little piece of paper, Tamun Shud, and her phone number was in that book that that paper was ripped out of. She had had a child.
Was the book on the body? How did they find
the
book?
No, it was found about 500 metres away from the body. It was found dumped. But she had had a child called Robin Thompson. He sadly passed away. Robin Thompson has a daughter who is still living, and in a very Adelaide twist, she is married to Professor Abbott. So for Professor Abbott, this started off as a kind of cryptography, a code to solve, but now it's very personal. They have children. They want to know if potentially this is Rachel's biological grandfather. So that's why he has been arguing for so many years for an exhumation of this body.
Jerry, I think you've said publicly that your life has been consumed by this since you took over the cold case back in the 90s, I think. You wrote a book about it. In the book, you put your email address, I guess hoping that people would come to you. Did people come to you with theories and links and hints? And what kind of people, and were they helpful?
There was an immense interest in it. In fact, it just about ran me off my feet. I was getting phone calls throughout Australia and letters and messages on my email address from not only all states of Australia, but also from about 16 different countries overseas. It caused immense interest in the whole case. And just going back on your finding the book, was the Rubaiyat, which was discarded in a vacant car down on Jetty Road near... Okay. And now, anything else you want me to cover just in respect to that?
No, that's fantastic, Jerry. Let me wind up by asking both of you, Jerry, I'll start with you. If the DNA is recovered and doesn't get a match anywhere, and I noticed the police officer on the senior said was very careful to say this might, or one of the experts was very careful to say we may not get a match. Jerry, if they don't get a match, is that the end of it? Does the trail go completely cold in your view?
It will be a bit of a setback, but it's very good that the police have actually taken over the exhumation because there was a lot of interest from public to do that and apply for a extra exhumation. But it was knocked back by John Rowley, then Labor Attorney General, for various reasons. And as a result, the people who should have been doing it was the police, and they actually applied and received authority to go ahead with an exhumation.
Okay. And Fiona, just finally to you, and someone's picked me up when I said DNA technology has come a long way since the 1940s. Obviously, it wasn't invented back then, and someone's pointed that out. That's clear enough. Thank you very much. But if this does not get a match, what do you think? Is that the end of it?
No, this is just another lead, Fran. Having followed this case for so many years now, I'm not expecting an answer to come out of this, to be perfectly
You're
honest.
You're not?
No, I don't think so. This case has so many different twists and turns, but I think that while we're not going to get a conclusive name, I think it will be pretty clear-cut as to whether or not he's related to Professor Abbott's wife.
Sure.
That will be closure.
Did your podcast provoke any great leads?
It did. We investigated the story, and we investigated whether or not this was related to a spate of different deaths that all involved the ribout of Omar Khayyam. And the podcast generated the fact that for the first time, as Jerry alluded to, the Attorney General of South Australia, Vicky Chapman, gave permission for this exhumation, which is a pretty major thing. As Jerry mentioned, it had been knocked back by successive South Australian governments over many years. So the fact that we have a South Australian Attorney General who wants this case solved, that as Jerry mentioned, it is going through the official channels, it's back into police hands. This is a really exciting time for everybody involved in the case.
Okay. Just briefly, what's your favourite theory?
Probably the most likely probable theory is that he is a love child. Robin Thompson is a love child of Joe Thompson and the Somerton man, and that he just took his own life on the beach.
Well, then the DNA will clear it up, won't it?
Hopefully.
Okay. Fiona, Jerry, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Fran. Okay.
Jerry Feltis, the former police officer in charge of the Somerton Man cold case. He wrote a book about it, and as he told us then, the book and the leads that have come from it have consumed his life. And Fiona Ellen Jones, she spent a fair whack of hers on it too. She did the podcast series, The Somerton Man Mystery. It's an ABC podcast. If you want to hear it, it's there on the ABC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts.